And so this week, it's my privilege to bring you a message in our Guard Your Heart series. And before I tell you what we're doing this week, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence. We thank you that your word is truth and that your word is life. And that, Lord, you say that you are the vine, Jesus, and we are the branches. And when we remain in you, we will have life and we will bear good fruit. And Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to come and to learn from your word this morning. Lord, as we look at what might be a little bit of a tricky subject this morning, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Would you reveal your truth to us? Would you remind us of your goodness and your greatness? And would you help us, Lord, to realign our lives with you and your purpose for us? So, Lord, may the words that I speak this morning be your words. Lord, if they are of you, may they be spoken. If they are not, may they fall to the ground. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in all things this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, my name is Andrew and I'm one of the pastors here. If I haven't met you yet, I forgot to introduce myself. Normally you see me on that side of the stage, but today it's my privilege to bring the message to you this morning. And so today what I would like to look at is guard your heart when the road is hard and the well seems dry. When the road is hard and the well seems dry, how do we guard our heart when things are not going how we had planned? How do we guard our hearts when we look around ourselves, we look around our world and we see, or we look around our own circumstance and we go, this is not the idea I had. God, this is not how it's supposed to go. God, this is just, what is this? What is this? What is going on? So when the road is hard and the well seems dry, how do we continue to guard our heart? Now, I want to be clear here that we've all had bad days. We've all had bad days in our lives. We've all had days when things haven't quite gone right, when things have become troublesome or worrying. Those guys at the Tarantula Affair are having a really bad time right about now. But I'm not talking about just having bad days. Because for us, we have bad days. We usually get through them. We pick ourselves up and we move on. And bad days are just bad days. They happen for a day and we tend to move on from those places. I'm not talking about when we have a bad day, but I'm talking about today when the road is hard and the well seems dry, when whatever we try and do doesn't seem to work, when our spiritual walk with the Lord is hard and it feels dry. Have you experienced that before? Have you experienced times in your walk with the Lord where you struggle to find joy, where reading your Bible is hard work, when praying to the Lord seems difficult, seems fruitless sometimes, seems dry? Yeah, I can see some nodding heads. If you've been walking with the Lord, I'm sure you've experienced this at some point in your life. Those times in our lives when we say, Lord, what is going on here? I love you, I serve you, I follow you, I know you love me, I know you have a plan for me, Lord God, but at the moment it just is too hard. It's just hard work and I don't feel like I'm getting any traction. And I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. You know what I'm talking about? We've all had those kind of times in our life. And I want to encourage you, as encouraging as this can be, is that these times of dryness, these times of the road being difficult, are actually an essential part of our Christian walk with the Lord. They're actually a part of our life that the Lord allows to happen. Because it's good for us. That sounds a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? Why would spending time with the Lord when it seems difficult and dry and hard, why would the Lord allow that because it's good for me? And I'd like to explore that a little bit today. So, you with me? We're not talking about bad days. We're talking about those times when life and our prayer life and our spiritual life with the Lord, it seems dry and rough and hard and difficult. We need to plow through those times. So as human beings, we know that when life gets difficult for us, we usually have one of two reactions. The first is that we withdraw, we close ranks, we build walls, we alienate ourselves from people and the world around us. Why? Because we try and make our world small so that we can control it. Maybe that's you in the blanket fort today. You're putting up the walls, battening down the hatches, trying to protect yourself from what's going on, trying to keep yourself safe. And the other side of that equation is that, well, we get angry and we lash out and we react and we shake our fist at the world and we shake our fist at God and we go, God, what is going on here? Why is this happening to me? And we often, in this state, we try and fix our own problems. Or if I just do this, if I try this, if I do this, or we give up in anger and frustration. Well, God, I'm just not going to bother talking to you today because it's just too hard. It's too terrible. Generally, as humans, there are two reactions to these kind of situations: to hide, to withdraw, or to get angry, to try and control, to try and make it work for ourselves. Now, Scripture is full of heroes of the faith, or who we would call heroes of the faith, who've had rough times. And I love that about the Bible. I love that the Bible is not just a feel-good book, but it shows us the true humanity of the people who follow Jesus. It shows us their good side and their bad side. It shows us their victories and it shows us their struggles. And it helps me when I'm having a time of dryness to look at these times and say, God, well, I can see that they struggled too. And how did they deal with that? How did they work through those situations? And so I want to have a quick look at a few people today, just as we start, who had some difficult times. We can see David was one of those, the man after God's own heart who would eventually become the king of Israel. Yet we know that he had times of great joy, great worship and celebration with the Lord, but he also suffered through really difficult times, times where he cried out to the Lord, and we'll have a look at some passages in a minute. The sons of Korah wrote some psalms that reflect this, where they say, God, why? And we'll have a look at that in a minute. Actually, let's look at them now. David's psalm, Psalm 13, 1-4. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Oh, do you relate to this, friends, when you're having a difficult time, when you're struggling in your faith? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. These are the words of a man who is struggling. These are the words of a man who is having a difficult time. He's crying out to the Lord, David, and he's saying, what is going on here, God? Have you forsaken me? Have you forgotten me? Why is this blockage or this strain between us? And a psalm written by the sons of Korah, one that you might know well, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? The heart wants to be with God and close to the Lord. And the heart is crying out, but the circumstances don't feel like it. They don't look like it. They're feeling distant. They're feeling away from the Lord. Lord, I want to be with you, but it's hard right now. Why? Come and rescue me. Moses, as another example, we know that Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness after fleeing Egypt, 40 years in the desert. He went from the courts of Pharaoh as a prince to hanging out with the stinky sheep on the side of a mountain in the desert for 40 years. I think in that time he's going, God, what's going on here? What are you doing with my life, Lord? You've had me placed here and now I'm here. What's going on? Do you think he asked the question? I think he did. I think many times when he was hanging out with the sheep, he asked that question, Lord, why am I here again today? What is your plan for me? And we know Elijah. We see Elijah performs an amazing miracle where God calls down fire from heaven and he goes through and he kills all the prophets of Baal. But then the queen says, I'm going to kill you. And he fears for his life and he runs to the desert in 1 Kings 19, I believe. Yes, 1 Kings 19. He sees the hand of God at work through him. And then immediately after, he ends up in the desert asking the Lord to take his life because it's all too hard. It's too hard, God. I'm so separated from you now. I want this queen wants to kill me. I'm running for my life. God, this is hard. What's going on? And he says, God, take my life from me. That's the signs of a desperate man, a man who's struggling. So if our heroes of the faith have gone through this, times like this, then I think it's fair to say that I will experience that too. And you will experience those times as well. And as I said earlier, God actually invites these times into our lives to help us grow. And we're going to have a look at that now. So I want to ask you the question, why does God allow times of dryness in our lives? Now, I realize I've got about 25 minutes here, so I'm not going to be able to give us a real deep theological interpretation of this. But I want to leave us with some things that are going to encourage us today and encourage you to continue walking when your times with the Lord, when your walk with him feels dry. Why does the Lord allow these times of dryness? Well, firstly and foremostly, it's so we will continue to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, into the person that God has designed and created us to be. What? Why, God? Friends, I'm going to maybe shake your world here a little bit. But I want to make it clear to you that God's plan for you and for me is not to make me happy and give me everything that I want in my life. It's not to fulfill every desire of my heart, and it's not to let me live a happy and joyful and comfortable and contented life. His plan for me and for you is that we be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We call this sanctified, to be sanctified, to be made like Jesus. His plan for us is to be a disciple who learns and grows in the knowledge and the relationship with him. And then to be a disciple who goes on to reach the world and to share Jesus with them. That's God's plan for you and for me. To be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and to go about the work of the kingdom of God, bringing glory to God the Father here on earth before we go to be with him in heaven. That's it. When you said yes to Jesus, that's what you were signing up to for your life. Yes, our sins are forgiven. Yes, God makes us right, or Jesus makes us right with God through his death and resurrection on the cross. All who believe in him will be saved. Amen. Our sins are forgiven and removed from us so that we are no longer guilty of those sins. Jesus has paid the price for us. Amen. And as a result of that, our life is no longer ours because a transaction has taken place. The blood of Jesus Christ has bought my life back from the grave, from death and sin. And so I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to the one who paid for me, to God the Father, through Jesus. And so now my life's purpose is to do his purpose, because that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. Yeah? So whatever my hopes, dreams, desires, and plans are for my life, I'm welcome to bring them before the Lord. But I must bring them before the Lord in a way that says, God, if this isn't yours for me, then remove it and show me what is your plan for me so that I may walk in it. That's a hard thing to pray, because I like my life. I like being in control. I like making decisions and charting my own course and
being in control, don't we? Thank you. And when we put our hands into our lives into the hands of the living God, we're a little bit worried about that. We shouldn't be. The scripture tells us in so many places that God has the best plan for us, that he knows what he's doing, that he will take us and transform us into the people he created us to be. But there's still apprehension there, isn't there? There's still some worry. And that's okay. God understands that. But he takes us through dry times because he wants to transform us into the people who will follow him. Growth in anything only comes through hard work. Would you agree? My wife loves the garden. She's out there working hard, planting, weeding, and then we get a nice harvest of tomatoes or a nice harvest of, I don't know, whatever it is that you're planting out there. Yeah, I just see it when it comes in. Right? It takes hard work, elbow grease. We got to get in, get stuck in. If we want to build muscles, we go to the gym. Oh, well, I mean, I don't, but I like the muscles without the hard work. But it takes hard work, doesn't it? I've got to exercise. I've got to strain my body, stress my muscles, then they start to grow. Yeah? If I want knowledge, if I want knowledge and understanding, I have to work hard for that. I have to read. I have to listen. I have to go to classes. I have to study. It takes hard work, doesn't it, to gain knowledge and understanding. It doesn't just appear. It's no coincidence that the word disciple and discipline share the same root Latin word. Discipulus. That's about as much Latin as I know. But it means learner or student. And our English word disciple that we draw from this root word, well, it means a follower or a student who learns from a teacher. Pretty simple. And while discipline is the training and the structure and the practice required to learn from that teacher. You with me? God takes us into times of dryness so that we will grow, so that we will be transformed into the people that God has called us to be. Scripture tells us this in James 1, 2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The Lord wants us to grow and mature so that we will not lack anything when we follow him. Romans 5, 1-4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. The Lord takes us through dry times and difficult times to build our character so that we will learn from him and stand firm and continue to grow and follow him. Why? To trust in the Lord with all our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, 8. And lean not on our own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. What brings health to our body and nourishment to our bones? Trusting in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, following his path and his plans for us, not being wise in our own eyes, but shunning evil and following the Lord. I don't know about you, but when life is going good and I'm having a great time, I can be a little less dependent on God. I can go, I've got everything I need. It's under control. Work's not a hassle. Well, I shouldn't say work's not a hassle because my work is here, right? Things are going well.
But often it's in the difficult times when we reflect on our lives and we question ourselves, right? We go, well, why am I here? What's going on? It's the difficult times where we look and reflect and introspect and go, is there something here that I need to deal with? Is there something here that is causing this problem? The Lord brings dry times to help us keep on track with him, to remind us that we have to trust him, to remind us that we need to follow him. It's not because he doesn't like us. It's not because he thinks, oh, well, Andrew, you're getting a bit too big for your boots. I better fix you up here. No, it's because he loves me and he wants me to keep growing. When I get to a point where I'm comfortable, when I'm happy, when life's going good, I tend not to grow. I tend to want to sit here because it's good and it's great and it's fun and I'm having a good time. And the Lord says, I see that. Enjoy your blessings, but I want you to keep going. I want you to keep growing. And so the Lord will introduce a time of difficulty, of dryness, to help me refocus my heart back on him. So we're going to experience these times of dryness. They're going to come. So it'd be amiss of me to not share with you, well, what can we do? What can we do when these times come? And I want to leave you with a couple of key points here. When these times come, we need to remember that these are times to learn from God. These are not times for us to retreat into our blanket fort and close off the world around us. They're not times for us to necessarily get angry at God and to shake our fist and to walk away. But they're times for us to learn from him. These are times of preparation, friends. These are times when the Lord is using these times to prepare our hearts for what is next, to grow us into the people who are ready for what he has to bring us next, and to continue to walk with him in these ways. We see this with Moses. I mentioned Moses earlier. He spent 40 years in the desert. Why? Because God was preparing him to lead the people of Israel. It's no joke that he spent 40 years trying to tame unwieldy sheep, because God knew he was going to have a million unwieldy Israelites that he was going to have to tame and lead. The Lord was preparing him and teaching him for what was going to come. The Lord uses these times to draw us back to himself. He uses these times for us to stop and to refocus and to say, God, I don't know what's going on here, but I want to know. I need to come back to you. I need to talk with you. I need to spend time with you. Show me. And I think this is sometimes why we find it as a dry time, because we're looking for answers and God's going, yeah, I'm working on you. I'm working on you, but you're just going to have to keep persevering. Keep persevering with me and I will lead you. And it's times when God teaches us that it's his truth, not my feelings. I feel good, my relationship with God is good. I feel bad, my relationship with God is bad. That's me being human. But the Bible, the Lord's word, is truth and it doesn't change. So regardless of how I feel today, his truth and his promises don't change. And dry times are times when he helps me remember that. To remember that my feelings are leading my life, not the truth of the word. And he uses it to guide me back. See, in Deuteronomy 8, 2-4, as the Israelites are about to enter the promised land, Moses shares this with them. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see, the Lord uses these dry times to remind us that he is Lord. And for us to check our heart, who's number one in here? Is it you, God, or is it me? And he uses it to realign us with him. So number one is time to learn from God. Number two, the dry times, it's time to clean house. When you're experiencing a dry time with the Lord, it's time to clean house. Now, we've recently had two wardrobes replaced in our house. That's AI, by the way, not our wardrobe. You guys don't believe me? No? All right. The reason this picture is here is because when you have wardrobes replaced in your house, everything that's in them has to come out. Everything that is in them has to come out. And our house has had the lounge room full of stuff and the back room full of stuff and Annabelle's room full of stuff because her wardrobe is getting done too, right? But everything has to come out. And what happens when everything comes out of your wardrobe? You sort it out. You sort it out so that when it goes back in, only what you want to keep goes back in. That actually is our wardrobe. So thank you, I'll take that. But you see the illustration here? It's time to clean house. When things are getting rough, when our faith is feeling dry, the Lord is saying, what is in your heart that's got to get out and you got to get rid of? What junk is there that's got to go? So it's a time to clean house. It's a time to look at where we are, what is in our heart, who is first in our life, and start to get rid of the things that the Lord is saying, that's not of me, you can't hang on to that. You need to get that out and replace it with me, and replace it with what I have for you. Because in Deuteronomy 8:5-6, this is Moses continuing, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commandments of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. You see, we got a clean house. We got to look at ourselves. We got to get rid of the things in our life that are distracting us and leading us away from the Lord so that he may fill those places with himself and continue to grow us in the ways of the Lord. So, clean house, what is God laying bare? What is God laying bare? What has he asked you to get out of the wardrobe, deal with and get rid of? And that requires repentance. When we clean house, we need to repent. Now, I'm going to say it again. You probably know this, but repentance is not saying sorry. Repentance is turning from the sin that I was doing. It's saying, God, I no longer want to do this, and I'm turning away from it and leaving it behind. And I'm choosing your way over my way. It's different to saying sorry. We say sorry to the Lord, but we need to change our lifestyle. We need to change the attitude. We need to change what we are doing that the Lord is not happy with. And thirdly, it's time to realign. What needs to change? What needs to change in your heart, in your life, in your perspective towards God? What needs to change? And finally, it's time to shake things up. It's time to shake things up. It's time to reset your routine. And if you don't have one, start one. Your routine, spending time with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that your routine isn't working, but we all know that we can get stuck in a rut or in a familiar way of doing things. Mix it up. Change up your devotional time. Go for a walk and pray. Listen to podcasts or the Bible, you know, audio form if reading's not your thing. Change the time of day, change the place. Mix it up. Spend time with the Lord in different ways and in different places. Bring that freshness to your walk with him. Don't walk this path alone. There's a reason, friends, we're called the family of God. There's a reason we are a family and a community. It's that we are meant to walk together. So when you are in a difficult time, get people to walk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you, to speak life, God's life, into your life. Don't go it alone. It's hard, I know. It's hard to admit to other people that my spiritual life isn't going as well as I want it to be because we feel like a failure or we feel like they're going to judge me. But in the family of God, we know we can share with each other because we're all on this journey together. And just like Ben preached last week, that their ashes can be your beauty. What they've learned, what the God has changed in their lives can encourage you, but you'll never know if you never ask.
And finally, worship God even when it's hard. You know, we looked at Psalm 13 earlier, and we read this about David, and he finishes off with saying, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? But you know, there's two more verses to this psalm, and this is how David finishes it. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. You see, this is the key, friends. Yes, we're having a hard time and we're struggling, but the answer is to continue to worship and praise the Lord, even in those difficult times and those difficult places. Because worship is what opens our heart to him. Worship is what aligns our minds with him. To say, God, you are above all things. You are amazing. You are awesome. You are the God above all things. And even though I'm feeling rubbish, I'm still going to choose to admit that and speak that out loud and praise you for who you are. That is what starts to bring transformation in our heart and in our mind. It's amazing how God's designed it that way. So if we're hiding in our cubby, we're not doing that. If we're yelling angry at God, we're not doing that. We need to turn our hearts back to worshiping the Lord. Learn from God. Clean house. Shake things up. And I want to close this morning with some encouragement for us from Scripture. There are so many verses that I could have put in this section. This is just a handful. But I encourage you, go and see what the Lord says, what his word says to you, to those who are struggling, when you are having a hard time, when life seems dry. The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God is with you. In Isaiah, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is leading us in those places. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The promises are here and they keep coming, friends. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Promises from Jesus' own mouth to us. Seek me and you will find me. Come after me with all your heart and I will meet you and you will find and I will lead you. And one of my most favorite verses in the entire Bible. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter where we are on our walk. It doesn't matter how far in the desert we are or how dry the well is. God is with us and he loves us and he will walk with us and lead us if we choose to follow him. So what do we need to do? Well, we got to be proactive. It's okay to sit in those times of dryness and at the dry well for a bit. It's okay. But don't sit there and do nothing. Don't sit there and just wallow or sit in the dust, as the case may be. These are times for us to repent and realign our lives with Jesus. Ask him to show you what's in my heart, Lord, that's keeping me from you that I need to repent of. What do you need to clean out of my wardrobe? Don't walk this path alone. Talk to your trusted brothers and sisters in Christ. Have them pray. Have them encourage. Have them walk with you in these times. Worship God even when it's hard. Because we know that worship realigns our heart and our mind with the Father. And it brings us out of our situation and focuses our eyes on the one who can truly change us and our situation. And finally, it's a time we need to learn from God and his word.
Keep a journal, keep a notebook, speak into your phone and save the notes. I don't know, whatever people are doing these days, right? Keep a record of what God is saying to you at these times. Write it down. Because trust me, you'll go back and look at it and go, whoa, I thought it was so terrible. And yet God spoke and led and guided me in this place. Learn from God and trust in his word. So friends, when the well seems dry and the road is hard, we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts by continuing to seek the Lord. Continue to seek him in those places. Don't go on your own. Have your brothers and sisters walk with you. And know that God is using this time to shape you into the person that he wants you to be. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that even in the difficult, dry times, you are there. You are there, Lord God, and you are leading us. And you have things for us to learn. And you want to use them as times to shape us into the people you have created us to be. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you this morning. Lord, we want to stand as your people and say, God, we want to choose you first. We choose your way over our way. Lord, renew our hearts. Restore our relationship with you. Lord, lead us and guide us, we pray. Thank you that you never leave us. Thank you that you have plans for our lives to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus and to serve you and the work of the kingdom here on earth. God, thank you that you love us and that you are with us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.